Okay, we'll call the Eastern Municipal Water District Board of Directors to its open session this morning, December the 2nd, 2020, time being just a little after 9 a.m. Director Record, would you lead us in the flag salute, please?
Please join me in a salute to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, April, do we have some guests this morning? Oh, it's April. Okay. Do we have any guests? We do have some guests in the back. I see a gentleman I have not seen there before. We'll come back to that in a second. Okay. With that, agenda item one is public comments. Any subject within the jurisdiction of EMWD, speakers are required to limit their comments to 3 minutes. Any members of the public wishing to speak, please unmute your dial-in by *6 if you are on the phone. And if you're having trouble hearing the presenters, please speak up. So we're just making some adjustments to our speaker system here in the boardroom. Secondly, do we have anybody wishing to make any comments, either in the room or on the phone? Hearing none, we'll go to...
Good morning, Director.
Yes.
Good morning, Director Sullivan. This is District Council O'Neill. I just want to let you know that while we're in the waiting room waiting for the meeting to start, there are some relatives of Rich Howler that are on the call that are here for 2B.
Okay, do we need a roll call this morning since we have all five board members here?
Sure, why not?
Let's have a roll call just for certain.
Sure. Director Pauly.
Present.
Director Record.
Here.
Director Corona.
Here.
Director Slauson.
Here.
Okay. Director Sullivan, if we could, perhaps we could take item 2B first, sure. Please.
Sure, absolutely. It's a proclamation of the Board of Directors of Eastern Municipal Water District in recognition of the career and service of Rich Howler as his term as and his employment as general manager of SAPA.
Thank you, President Sullivan, members of the board. I'm pleased to be able to present this proclamation this morning and appreciate you switching this around on the agenda. It's my understanding Rich's brother is on the phone, and he's a medical doctor and in between patients, so we're having to accommodate right. That schedule. So, Rich, if you could please come up here, we'd like to go ahead and present this to you, and you can stand right there. Perfect. Yeah, well, I think we're all good at this point. But
his sister Susan is on the phone, too.
Oh, excellent.
Do what?
Yeah, North Carolina moves in Florida.
Wow, well, that's fantastic. Right. So we have a national level call, so thank you. And what's your sister's name?
Susan.
Susan, thank you for joining us, and your brother?
Yeah.
Robert.
Sure.
Robert, thank
Robert.
You for joining us. Robert. Very good. So I do have, for those on the phone, a proclamation on behalf of the Board of Directors and General Manager of Eastern Municipal Water District, whereas on July 1st, 2017, Richard E. Howler was appointed General Manager of the Santa Ana Watershed Project Authority, working with its five member agencies as a joint powers authority to develop and maintain regional plans and programs that protect the Santa Ana River Basin water resources to maximize beneficial uses within the watershed in an economically sustainable manner. And Mr. Howler also updated the JPA Accord and redefined the operational committee structure for SAPA and the Commission. Whereas prior to joining or to becoming General Manager, Mr. Howler served as the Engineering and Operations Manager of SAPA since 2001, managing more than $50 million in capital improvement projects while successfully directing all aspects of SAPA's 73-mile, $165 million Inland Empire brine line. And whereas Mr. Howler began his career as a Lieutenant Colonel Operations Officer in the United States Air Force, where he performed project development for major United States and NATO construction projects in Germany, and a field engineering team of nearly 100 projects at Ballet Air Base, Iraq. And whereas earning his Master and Bachelor of Science in Civil Engineering from Bucknell University. In addition to being a registered professional engineer in California, Arizona, and Maryland, and whereas Mr. Haller helped unify and advance projects that will serve the watershed for decades to come and enhance the economic vitality of the entire Inland Empire region, and whereas the watershed has truly benefited from an outstanding service and leadership from Mr. Haller, and Eastern Municipal Water District wants to convey its sincerest appreciation for the dedication, leadership, and public service of Mr. Haller. And then we have the signatures on this proclamation. Personally, I'd like to say, Rich, it's just been an honor to work with you. And since you came on as general manager at SAPA, I think the relationship with the member agencies, the cohesiveness of SAPA as a joint power authority, and the things that we've accomplished have just never been at a higher level. And so I want to personally thank you for coming in and really leading that and steering the ship in the right direction. So thank you very much. And accept this proclamation on behalf of our organization. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much for this honor. I really appreciate it. You work your whole career for this moment, and it's here. So I'm really excited about it, and it's wonderful to be recognized, give this wonderful resolution. You managed to get my whole career on a single piece of paper. I'm very impressed. So, and I do remember when I deployed to Iraq, you have a group called the CAN people, I believe, and we got beautiful packages and wonderful, uplifting morale, boosting packages, and I really, really appreciated that. I don't know if they're still in existence or not, but that was really tremendous.
Yeah.
Made the time in Iraq a little bit easier, and it was much, much appreciated. So, and I was under the guidance of two outstanding Eastern commissioners, Ron Sullivan, who was chair for about 18 months, I believe, and then Dave Slauson, who was chair for the last 6 months or so, and tremendous guidance. I would never lack for input from any of the member agencies. I always appreciated that. I never had to seek it. It came to me quite easily. And with the guidance of your chairmanships, I was able to implement the policies and procedures directed by the commission. So it was really, really tremendous. So, I thank you all for this recognition. It's really super. And I look forward to the future. People always ask me, what are you going to do? Well, I love to eat, and I love to cook. Do that. My dad was a chef, and so I really wanted to always do more cooking. So I'm going to do that, and I love eating. So, and I'll try to do a little bit of engineering work and keep myself busy with COVID-19. It's a little bit uncertain. But I definitely appreciate this recognition. It's really an honor, and I always appreciate Paul's guidance and technical input. He's very, very precise with very, very thoughtful comments. So I appreciate that, Paul. And all the Eastern staff, really well respected throughout the watershed. And even to the point where Quail Valley was briefed to another Montevista Water District who wants to do a septic to sewer project. And Paul and his staff put together a tremendous how to do it guide. So no reinventing the wheel. You already had the wheel. So that's good, and we much appreciate it. I think that's a new day for the watershed now, where we can share among ourselves and work together. So you're not reinventing the wheel, and you're not doing it alone. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Rich.
Thanks so much. Thank you. My brother and sister for joining us today. My sister's in North Carolina, where I was in Florida. So thank you, guys.
Congratulations, Rich.
We're proud of you, Rich.
Well deserved. Okay.
Thank you very
congratulations,
much.
Congratulations, Rich.
Rich, this is Keith. Congratulations.
Yes, if I could just add a few words. I think having Rich at the helm at SAPA has really been advantageous. He's done an excellent job. He's a great engineer. He's a great manager. And those two attributes really help the district. And he's very professional. I've always appreciated it. He has a lot of insight on a lot of issues. He's very well-rounded. And on a personal level, he's a nice guy. He's really just a nice person. And the fact that his brother and sister are on the line, that's proof of it. He has a good family, too. So I appreciate you personally, and this district appreciates what you've done.
Any other comments? I'll have my say. You know, I've been at SAPA since, I think, around 2006, something like that. Rich was already there.
Rich was always somebody that you could count on to get an honest answer from the best you could at the time under certain circumstances. And Rich is truly a gentleman. He has brought back to the watershed and to the five agencies some collaboration that is amongst all five agencies, and to be able to work with all five agencies for the betterment of the watershed. And so, Rich, everybody is going to miss you. It's going to be hard to replace you as a general manager, because not only from your experience, but your demeanor and the way that you work with every one of the commissioners and the alternates at SAPA, you have done an incredible job, sometimes under difficult circumstances. And I know I wrote him a personal little email, and that he is by far and away a true gentleman, and I think his wife will also recognize that also, as she has already this morning, and that SOP is going to miss you. Thank you, Rich. Everything.
Very good.
Okay. All right. With that, we'll go to agenda item 2A, which is adopt a proclamation of the Board of Directors of Eastern Municipal Water District in recognition of the contribution and service of Ronald W. Sullivan as President and Board of Eastern Municipal Water District.
We have several items to present in this regard, starting out with the proclamation, and then I have a number of other things. And then we also have some guests with us today, President Sullivan, that would like to recognize you. So I think it's all, for all of us, it's with a little bit of sadness that we're giving you this proclamation today to recognize just, I think, what's been an extraordinary level of service that you've provided the district and leadership. So I will go ahead and read this proclamation. But again, we do have some other recognitions as well. So this is a proclamation of the Board of Directors of Eastern Municipal Water District, whereas President Ronald Sullivan has served as Director of Eastern Municipal Water District since the beginning of fall of 2002, and during his tenure as director, he represented Division 4, which includes the cities of Menifee and Paris and surrounding communities. And whereas in his time as an EMWD director, President Sullivan has helped advance a variety of programs and projects that have resulted in a more secure water, wastewater, and recycled water future for the nearly 1 million people living within EMWD's 555-square-mile service area. Whereas notable projects that President Sullivan has helped champion include the vast expansion of its groundwater desalination system, the installation of modernized sewer systems in Enchanted Heights in Quail Valley, whereas Enchanted Heights and Quail Valley sewer systems were grant-funded projects which resolved longstanding public health crises and were brought to the finish line in large part by President Sullivan's willingness to engage at the state and federal funding level in seeking solutions for disadvantaged communities. And whereas, along with his work at EMWD, President Sullivan has served on the boards of the National Water Resources Association, Santa Ana Watershed Project Authority, the Western Riverside Council of Governments, and he has also been a federal affairs liaison for the Association of California Water Agencies. And whereas, prior to his tenure at EMWD, President Sullivan dedicated much of his career to public service, serving the community through his work as a Riverside County Planning Commissioner, City of Hemet Planning Commissioner, and State Legislative Representative. And whereas President Sullivan has been tireless as a champion for using his background in the legislative affairs and development community to help EMWD become a leader in securing external funding to further expand its infrastructure while providing cost-effective and reliable services for its customers. And whereas legislative advocacy was among the issues where President Sullivan became most well-known, as evidenced by his testimony before the United States Congress and frequent presence in the halls of the United States House of Representatives and Senate in order to advance the priorities that provided great benefit to EMWD and all Western water users. And whereas EMWD is incredibly appreciative of the dedication that President Sullivan put forward to help secure its place as one of the nation's most well-respected water, wastewater, and recycled water providers. So, Ron, thank you very much on behalf of the staff and the Board of Directors of Eastern Municipal Water District. Please accept this proclamation We have several other things, so I don't, unless the board wants to make a couple comments, I'll go through some of the other items, or if you prefer, I go through the other items first, and then
sure.
We'll hold for comments. So this is the first item for you. Second, we do have a recognition that I think is very special. It's actually a tribute to you in the Congressional Record. And so this is for the proceedings and debate of the 116th Congress, second session, volume 166 on November 18th, House of Representatives, Honorable Ken Calvert's tribute to Ron Sullivan. And I'll read this. Mr. Calvert, Madam Speaker, I rise today and pay tribute and congratulate Director Ronald W. Sullivan for his nearly two decades of dedicated service to Eastern Municipal Water District. Director Sullivan has been a board member at Eastern since 2003, representing Division 4, which includes the cities of Menifee and Paris. During his tenure on the board, Director Sullivan has dedicated himself to helping EMWD advance projects that provide more reliable water supply for future generations of customers in Western Riverside County. He's helped EMWD secure hundreds of millions of dollars in local, state, and federal funds that have expanded water and wastewater and recycled water infrastructure. He played a pivotal role in the advancement of EMWD's groundwater desalination program, including the Paris II desalter. Mr. Sullivan was also a driving force behind the completion and modernization of sewer systems in economically disadvantaged communities of Quail Valley and Enchanted Heights. Both projects were offset by significant external funding. President Sullivan is passionate about addressing arid West issues. He served as a board member of National Water Resource Association, was a federal affairs liaison to California Association of Water Agencies, and was honored by the Texas Water Conservation Association for his dedication to multi-state collaboration on federal issues with Texas. Mr. Sullivan was a tireless advocate in Washington, D.C., providing testimony before Congress and pushing federal agencies to partner with EMWD to address needs of his constituents. Director Sullivan has served as EMWD's representative to SAPA, which manages Inland Empire Brightline and other regional watershed management programs, as well as Western Riverside Council of Governments. He's a former Riverside Planning Commissioner and City of Hemet Planning Commissioner. And then in closing, the recognition says, Ron is a great American, a true public servant, and a friend. The entire Southern California region, as well as the arid West, thank Ron for his many years of dedicated service, and I wish him the best in his next chapter. From Congressman Calvert. So, Ron, I think that's a wonderful congressional recognition. We also have in the back, April, a framed photo collage, Ron, that has several photos of Ron at EMWD over the years. We've asked our guests here today if they'd like to inscribe something on there to go ahead and put their well wishes, and we'd like to present that with you later. And then finally, I have a something for you, Ron, and this was actually a very kind of a popular moment for me. This is a picture of Ron and I in Washington, D.C., presenting Senator Feinstein the Water Leaders Academy. And so I want to present this to you personally and also say personally, it's really rare to work with somebody who's really dedicated and unselfish with their time and really committed to their community the way you are, Ron. And although this picture shows you and I giving Senator Feinstein our Water Champion Award, in my mind, you're EMWD's true water champion. And I want to personally thank you for your devotion to making this organization a better place, your support of the staff and me, and also for your friendship, Ron. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
So with that, I'd now like to introduce some other guests that we have on behalf of WR COG. We have Elisa Laurel. Elisa?
Good morning, Board of Directors. Elisa Laurel here with WR COG, and I'm very pleased and honored and excited today to present a proclamation to President Sullivan. Thank you so much for your dedication and commitment, not only to Eastern Municipal Water District, but more importantly to the region and your championing of water conservation and all of it's very indicative of your service to the area. So we really, really appreciate your commitment. And I'll go ahead and read a couple things on the proclamation. So to recognize and honor Ron Sullivan for service to the Western Riverside Council of Governments, whereas Ron Sullivan was first elected to the Eastern Municipal Water District on January 2013, and whereas Ron Sullivan first joined the Western Riverside Council of Governments Executive Committee in February of 2020, whereas during this time on WRCOG's Executive Committee, Ron Sullivan was diligent in his dedication to improving the subregion's quality of life and provided invaluable benefits for all who live and work in Western Riverside County. And whereas Ron Sullivan was instrumental in participating in the agency's many programs and activities, such as the PACE program, the fellowship program, and the economic development sustainability framework, among many other WRCOG initiatives. And whereas Ron Sullivan was a strong supporter of WRCOG's most recent programs, the formation of a subregional economic development corporation and a subregional housing trust. And whereas WRCOG has benefited from Ron Sullivan as a member of its executive committee and for bringing his and EMWD's water expertise to this region, subregional forum. And whereas WRCOG sincerely thanks Ron Sullivan for his commitment to elevating the quality of life throughout the subregion. Therefore, be it resolved that on this day of December 2nd, 2020, the Western Riverside Council of Governments recognizes and thanks Ron Sullivan for his outstanding accomplishments and leadership. Thank you so much for your commitment to this region.
Thank you very much for the honor.
And now we have a couple of guests that would like to say a few words regarding Ron as well. You know, one of the most challenging projects, and I think one of the key accomplishments we had at the district was our septic to sewer conversion projects. These are severely disadvantaged communities that we've been able to help out by providing a turnkey solution that not only helped those communities from an environmental standpoint, but also helped build property values in those communities and make those communities sustainable and viable in the long run. So we do have a couple of people today, one here in person and two tentatively on the phone, I think, or one on the phone at least, from the Quail Valley Community Group. So I'd like to introduce first Don Vesey. Don, would you like to come forward?
Thank you, everyone. This is quite a surprise, but yes, I do want to say to Mr. Sullivan, thank you for what you have done, your staff, all of your supporting staff here, of what you've done for Quail Valley. I represent their community group. I'm the president, elected last year before COVID, I believe. Unfortunately, we've not been able to have meetings since March. But hopefully we'll get back together and get working closely with everybody here, everybody with EMWD and the Santa Ana Water District also. But the big thing is that, yes, the sewer project has gone in Area 9, and the residents are just fully grateful for all the work you've all done. I can't say enough. Thank you. And anything we can do to help, please. Yes, there's information back here. My personal email address as well as my phone number. Thank you very much, gentlemen. And ladies, thank you.
Don, thank you very much.
We also have on the phone Richard Melrose. Richard, are you on the phone? Okay. And then Janet Anderson, are you on the phone? Well, they were going to try to join us, and Ron, I'm sure they'll contact you later. So with that, and those recognitions, I just want to open it up to the board for any comments they might want to make. And then maybe we'll do some pictures after that.
Yeah, I'll start. I just want to say, Ron, in the 14 years I've served with you on this board, I just want to thank you for your friendship, your mentoring. You have done a fantastic job in everything we've been involved in, and I just want to say again, for a lot of the ratepayers, of all of us who send our federal tax dollars to Washington, D.C., if it wasn't for people like Ron and Paul and Jolene and Congressman Calvert that worked on behalf of this district to get some of those dollars back here, we would not have some of the great programs that we do. So thank you for doing that work. It's not easy to get on airplanes and trudge back there, especially in the wintertime. But thank you for all you've done, and it's been an honor to serve with you.
Thanks, Phil.
Hey, Ron, I can't believe it's been 18 years that we've served together on this board, and it's really been great. It was a good organization when we got here, but I think it's really gone to a higher level, and I brag about Eastern all the time at Metropolitan because I really believe that everything we do, we're a premier public agency, and you've certainly been a really big part of that. And, I don't think people realize the effort and time it takes to it sounds glamorous, but it isn't. And doing all that travel on behalf of the district, relationships you've built throughout the state and also in Texas, and I can just go on and on and on. So I really wanted to be here today to express that in person and just thank you for your time and your friendship and all your support for me over the years. So congratulations on a really great run here.
Thank you.
I met Ron when I was about 25 years old. Back when he was on the Planning Commission of Riverside County, he was a friend of Richard Steffi's, who was a local friend of ours. And I thought at the time, he's awfully young to be on a board like that. I thought that just old farts were on boards and things like that. And then little did I know, 40 years later, I'd be here on the same board with a bunch of old farts on Eastern's board. It is really an honor to be on the same board with you. And, I think people don't realize, and it's been mentioned before, the amount of time that you put into the job. And Ron puts in a tremendous amount of time, and that's all we've got in this world is time. So for that alone, Ron needs to be thanked for all he's done for this district. So as for me, I feel cheated because I only got to work with you for just a couple of years. But who knows what the future will bring, and I look forward to your future. I think more good things are yet to come, and I look forward to seeing them. So thank you again.
Thanks, Steve.
Well, I was trying to think of something nice to say, and, and I was having a difficult time, but I thought of something. Elizabeth, his partner over there has been beside him the whole time, and she, some of the trips she takes with him, it's a lot of work. Without a supportive spouse, you don't have anything. But actually, I only have great things to say about Ron. I'm the longest serving member, so he was a new kid, but he's so dedicated to this community and to this district in his service, and he just goes way beyond. And I've worked with a lot of directors, and he's one of the most dedicated, hardworking ones that I've worked with. So, Ron, I'm going to miss you personally, and this district's going to miss you.
Thanks, Dave.
Okay, thank you.
You. I'd just say a couple of words, hopefully without getting too choked up, but I've been blessed to be here for almost 18 years, and this, as Randy said, this was always a good district, and today it's a premier district. I had a couple of people call me a couple of weeks ago and said, Eastern is just incredible. And you can bet that what this district has accomplished over time, but in particular the last 10 years, 9 to 10 years, probably on Eastern's board will never, ever be duplicated again for the amount of projects that this district has seen itself accomplish, and some of the things that are in the wind today, whether it's the new storage project over in the Hemet and San Jacinto area, the March Air Force Base, the third desalter, full-on 100% use of reclaimed water. It kind of goes on, and it's going to be difficult for anybody to match the accomplishments that this board's done, primarily in the last 10 years. I think a lot of that goes to Paul's leadership and the executive staff and all the employees here that help make that work. I'm a true believer in personal relationships. It's something that I think helps this district, not only at the state, but at the federal level. And I know that one of our largest things came from just Washington, D.C., and getting to know a Senate fellow by the name of Mike Connor. And as soon as he made Bureau of Reclamation commissioner, it was 6 months later that he gave us $16 million because he believed in what Eastern was trying to accomplish. And so it's those things, whether it's Mike Connor or it's Congressman Calvert or it's Senator Feinstein and a whole host of people in Sacramento that make that work. And we couldn't make it work and make it follow through without the staff that we have here at EMWD. You know, one of the things that we did want to accomplish was to be able to be a bond-rated AAA agency, and that did happen. And I assume that under Laura's leadership and the new GM and everybody else, that they'll continue with that. I just wanted to say one other thing about personal relationships. It's funny to have known Steve for as long as I've known him, but you know, without a thank you to the Record family, I wouldn't be here today. Clayton took a lot of faith and trust in me a long time ago. And he said, you know, Ron, at some point, it'll be rewarding to you and not in a monetary sense. And took me out around where the homestead was on Chase, and he said, I want you to meet my farmer son and his wife. And so we've been friends ever since. And so those are the things that you hold dear to your heart, as well as everybody here in this room today. I appreciate the honor. Thank you. Thank you much. Okay, let's go to agenda item 3, which is the executive reports.
Thank you, President Sullivan. My written report is in your board package. A couple items I'd like to cover quickly. One of the items we've been focusing on recently is Moreno Valley water system reliability improvements, particularly in light of the issues we've had with respect to the periodic outages at the Mills plant as a result of the kind of unforeseen outages on the Santa Ana Valley Pipeline, on Department of Water Resources Santa Ana Valley Pipeline. If you think about it, since 2014, we've had three significant leaks on that pipeline. Two of those were either corrosion or maintenance related. One was obviously where a contractor bored into the side of the pipeline, but it has caused us to really focus more on that portion of our service area because it's high degree of dependence on imported water from the Mills plant. So we've undertaken a couple of initiatives since this most recent leak. We've contacted MET and DWR and put together a letter with Western and requested that they initiate kind of a rigorous inspection effort, potentially using an outside consultant to support and really assess the condition of the Santa Ana Valley pipeline and identify rehabilitation, corrosion control, and other long-term capital projects and maintenance activities to improve its reliability. And so we're coordinating with MET on that. Again, if you think about the most recent leak that where we did not have a prolonged shutdown but did have a problem, it was a small, a pertinent facility that was highly corroded. And so we think there's things that DWR can do to help with that, and we'll continue to work with MET on that effort. In addition, we're also looking locally, and not only are we prioritizing our capital plan internally to help in this area, but recently our operations and planning staff has met with Riverside Public Utilities, RPU, to discuss two possible interconnections that could provide emergency service from RPU and backup supplies. And we're looking at one that's in the proximity of the Mills plant, but also at RPU's Ross Reservoir and Pump Station, which is located along the 6215. In coming weeks, we're going to be working with RPU to conduct hydraulic modeling. We're going to quantify what capacity those interconnections may have under different demand scenarios, and then we will be meeting with them again, doing financial analyses, if these seem to make sense financially, we'll come back to the board with something. So I did want to let the board know that, you know, we haven't taken that area for granted. We are doing a number of efforts to try to improve reliability over time. Under ongoing activities, our Groundwater Reliability Plus program continues to advance forward. We will be releasing the project's draft environmental impact report soon, and as a result, we've conducted some executive-level briefings in the San Jacinto Valley. Specifically, we have met with executive staff of the Hemet San Jacinto Water Master. We've also met with City of San Jacinto staff, executive staff, Lake Hemet Municipal Water District. This meeting, we also coordinated with the representatives from the Saboba Tribe, as well as we're setting up a similar briefing for the City of Hemet. And I think the idea is we want to let them know. They're aware of the project. We briefed them all on the project previously, but with the EIR being released, the project's taking a big step forward at this point, and we wanted to make sure that they had a clear understanding of the project and project objectives before they received the environmental documents for comment. So it appears on the current schedule that draft EIR will be out for public review in January of 2021. So we're having these meetings ahead of time. Finally, I want to report on, and we've had several questions on, with the local economic impacts from the pandemic, what have we really seen on the development side? Have we seen deceleration? Have we seen projects being pulled back? And actually, it's quite the contrary. We're seeing quite a bit of development activity in the service area and continued growth, despite the economic impacts from the pandemic, particularly the areas of Menifee and Roma Land, as well as the Winchester areas, really are experiencing tremendous growth, and we're seeing a great number of new connection activity. We're also seeing, of course, the biggest focus on single-family residential. 85% of the new service connections that we have coming in are for single-family residential projects. I think maybe people are realizing that living in big city areas is not as quite as desirable as it used to be a year ago. And to have suburbia is perhaps not looking too bad, and particularly in areas where it's affordable and a good quality of life, as it is in our service area. So 85% is single-family residential. We're seeing about 6% of the service connections coming in multifamily, which is interesting. If you look at that ratio, it's still heavily single-family residential communities, and about 6% in the warehousing and logistics, which I think is understandable. We all drive on the freeway and see the logistics buildings going up. So if you look through the fourth month of this fiscal year, our equivalent Water meter connections are totaling about 1,588. On the sewer side, about 1,474. And if you compare that to our budget forecast, we're about 120% of budget. And we had a fairly aggressive number in for this year on the budget. So we'll continue to track that. But the development activity is alive and well, and we're supporting that. And Joe and Corey and his team are doing a great job making sure that we're not holding up projects and that we're getting infrastructure constructed in a timely manner. So with that, that concludes my report, unless there's any questions.
Have any questions? If
thank
not,
you very much.
Thank you. Laura?
Well, nothing today, but since I have the mic, I would like to just say thank you personally to President Sullivan for your service. During my relatively short tenure here, I've really enjoyed working with you. I've really respected your dedication and how you present yourself for the district and your support with all our initiatives and support of staff. And you have been exemplary. And I just want you to know that we will miss you terribly, and we hope you drop in occasionally to say hello.
Will do.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Nick.
Likewise, I have nothing to report today, but I also like to echo Laura's sentiments. I also want to share with everybody here that I got to know you and know of you even before I arrived at Eastern Municipal Water District about six and a half years ago. And that's when I came in as the new director of engineering at Orange County Sanitation District and became familiar with the tumultuous times that were going on with SOPA. And I heard reports and feedback from OCSD executive staff as far as the difficult people that I would have to work with at the SOPA Commission and the SOPA executive team. And so I got to know you very quickly and found out very early on that you, as well as the rest of the SOPA Commission and the executive team in there, including Rich Hollick, who incidentally were good people to work with, were reasonable people to work with, and we quickly found ways to compromise and settle some of the issues. And then since then, it's been a pleasure to work with you here at Eastern and get to know you even better and realize what a great person you are to work with. I've really enjoyed working with you here and particularly ongoing relationships at SOPA, coordinating some of the activities and getting guidance and feedback from you. And it's been a great experience, and I want to thank you for that. Look forward to, again, our paths continue to cross in the future.
Thank you, Nick. Feeling is likewise. Joe.
Good morning, President Sullivan. No updates, but on a personal note, I want to just echo everyone's comments. I also want to thank you. For the past 14 years that I've been here at EMWD, you've consistently been supportive of our initiatives, our effort, and staff on every level. You are tireless and in your commitment to our initiative. So thank you so much for all your support over the years, and you're going to be greatly missed. Thank you.
Thank you. I miss you too. Jeff.
Ron, I just love to echo everything that's been said today. You've been great to work with, and we've always been blessed with a really good board, very strong board, a very educated board that really understands water and what that means to our constituents. And so you are no exception to that rule. You've just been tireless in pursuing funds on behalf of EMWD's customers and just have been a great example of a public servant. So I just really, really appreciate the time that I've known you, 20-plus years. It's been
thanks,
great. So with that said, I just do have one item just to give the board an update. We are in the midst of a PSP event today. It actually begins tonight. It originally started out as notifying us that there would be up to 68 sites that would potentially be without power, and Edison, as of this morning, has reduced that to 18 sites, which does require that we mobilize additional generators. So we're in the process of planning that right now and preparing to do that, rolling those units out as necessary to ensure that we can maintain water supply for our customers. Fortunately, we had ample advance notice to be able to top off all of our storage, so I don't anticipate any problems, but just want to make you aware of that event. And that's all I have.
All right. Okay, with that, let's go to agenda item 4, which is a consent calendar. I'll accept a motion and a second for approval of items 4A through 4J.
I'll move that. I'll second it.
Been moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Director Sullivan?
Aye.
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Okay. Motion passes unanimously. We'll go to agenda item 5, which is the action calendar. 5A is the temporary suspension and application of late payment fees. Dan Howell, thank you.
Thank you, President Sullivan and the board. And before I begin, I would like to also thank President Sullivan for his years of service. Your guidance, your leadership, and your wisdom has been recognized by myself and all of the staff that reports under me, and we thank you very much for many years of tremendous service to the district.
So, thanks, Dan.
Thank you. So, yes, with that, I'm here to recommend a temporary suspension of our administrative code as it pertains to the application of late fees and to apply those outstanding balances to customer accounts for the benefit of our customers. So by way of background, it's been quite the year, as we all know, with regard to this topic. Beginning in February of 2020, Senate Bill 998 became effective, and among other provisions, that included a 60-day delinquency addition to our business processes in the customer service and billing functions. That was closely followed by the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic. As everyone knows, that's been ongoing since March of this year, with potential new restrictions likely to result of the current conditions and further impact the economy of our customers and of our region. In April of this year, the governor issued an executive order that was key to what we're seeing today. That executive order eliminated shutoffs for non-payment by our customers. And all of these components have resulting effects on our customer payments and delinquencies. So by way of background, this is a graph that you're very familiar with. Charles and Laura present this on a quarterly basis as part of the financial impacts resulting from COVID presentation. But you can see here again how our account aging that represents 61-plus days of account aging outstanding has risen from approximately 4.5% in February to what is current a little over 18%, a significant increase. Comparing to 2019, about 3.5% of our accounts were in that category. Important to our recommendations today is the fact that the increases in our customer delinquencies are generating additional late fees. These late fees have been significantly higher than were forecast, and we'll talk a bit more about that in a moment. So what have we done in these months since the coronavirus began to become problematic throughout the area? Staff have utilized several programs and procedures to assist our customers in meeting their obligations. As you know, we've implemented two new programs, the EMWD Assist Program and our Help to Others Low-Income Assistance Program. And those are in addition to the payment arrangements that staff will work very closely with customers on, late fee adjustments, which are commonplace as customers call and experience challenges. We waive those late fees. And then April and her team has done a tremendous job with customer outreach and communications, recommending that our customers contact us through various forms of media, but that they contact us, request assistance, which we have a number of tools at our disposal, such as these payment arrangements and late fee waivers and the various programs that I mentioned. So those communications have been key to our customers going out and have resulted in a number of improvements for those needing assistance. So with the aging that we've experienced over the past 8 months and those reports to the board, the board recommended that we look into this. What can we do about that account aging to improve that metric? And we began to hone in on this late fee concept. This slide is a bit busy with the verbiage, but I do want to read these items directly. but particular focus is on the two bracketed items. Beginning with the first bullet, and again, as they pertain to our late fees, is customers who were delinquent. These were assessed late fees one or more times, and they paid the full balance, including the late fees. The second group of customers that we looked at were those who were delinquent, were assessed late fees one or more times, and pay off only a partial balance, including the late fees. The third grouping, customers who are delinquent, have been assessed late fees multiple times and have made no payments since the governor's executive order. And then lastly, customers who were delinquent were assessed late fees one or more times and called our customer service department, as those communications suggested, requesting assistance, and those late fees were waived. And before we get into our recommendations and some backgrounds, just a bit, our administrative code provides for the assignment of late fees, and the highlighted section represents the subject, that accounts with payments not timely received will be subject to a late fee as established in the consolidated schedule of rates, fees, and charges. And that current charge is $25. So what are we recommending, and what are the costs and the benefits to our customers for this? There are two primary recommendations before us today. We are suggesting that we programmatically suspend the collection of late fees through expiration of the governor's executive order, that we basically implement into our billing system the suspension of those late fees. We also recommend that late fees that were assessed between the months of May and November of this year, the key months from the coronavirus pandemic, that we apply those late fees to customer account balances. We believe that applying those already assessed late fees will go directly to their water and sewer charges versus satisfying a late fee penalty. And I'll give you an illustrative example of that here in a moment. The cost of this to the district, approximately $3 million has been collected between the months of May and November in late fees, and we anticipate this action to reduce that aging balance that I showed you on that chart earlier, that by applying those to our customer accounts and letting the customers satisfy some of their outstanding obligations, we believe that metric should improve. So what are the benefits to our customers? It enables payments made to contribute directly to satisfying the usage balance versus the late fee penalties. In short, when a customer makes a payment, their payment first applies to the late fees and any fees and charges, and then goes to their water and sewer usage. That's common billing practice, but that's how it works, and it creates a cycle that is difficult for some to escape. So in addition to that, it assists our customers in becoming current with past due amounts. And then, importantly, this last item reduces outstanding payment liabilities for customers post-COVID. We have a number of customers out there that are accruing some significant balance payments, and we believe that providing this assistance now and even retroactively for those that were applied between May and November, we're going to assist them when this current crisis is finally over. So as mentioned, I want to provide just a simple illustration of what we're recommending here. The column on the left represents our current practice and how that applies to the customer, and the column on the right represents what we are proposing today. So I'll just use my mouse to hover over some of the items here. But in this example, you can see that water and sewer charges for this sample customer were $75. And in the example, there is a current, the customer was late on their payment, and there is a current late fee payment of $25 that was assessed. In addition, in the example, this customer had a previous month's late fee. So the sum of those water and sewer charges and the existing late fees totals $125. In the example, this customer provides a payment of $75. They unfortunately, this customer didn't contact the district as was requested, and we weren't able to waive the late fee, but they applied a $75 payment towards their outstanding balance of $125. That results in a remaining balance of $50. And again, remember, as I mentioned earlier, the payments that are made first go to satisfy fees and charges and then apply to the water and sewer usage. With that outstanding $50 balance, what could happen would be with the account would be subject to subsequent late fees, and hence the kind of the cyclical nature of what I described earlier. Moving into our recommended approach with this same customer payment example, again, we have the current water and sewer charges of $75, but under the recommended approach, there would be the late fee would be suspended. This example consists of a customer who had a previous month's late fee, but through the recommendation, we would credit that customer back that late fee in that same amount, so $25 credit. That results in the adjusted amount due of $75, which represents their water and sewer usage. This customer again makes that same $75 payment, and their balance remaining is now satisfied. There is no outstanding balance, and they are current. We believe this is certainly to the benefit of our customers in bringing many of them current and, again, positioning them for the post-COVID era. I'll pause on that if there are any questions before moving into the recommendations. Okay, hearing none. So our recommendation, due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic and unknown time frame for rescission of the governor's executive order, it is recommended that the board approve the temporary suspension of our administrative code with regard to late fees through expiration of the governor's executive order. We also recommend the retroactive application of late fees collected between May 1st of this year and November as a credit towards customer outstanding and future service charges. We also recommend, and we intend to return to the board within the next quarter to review the impacts of this on that account aging metric that I shared with you earlier. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Have any questions of staff? Comments?
No questions, just a comment. I think it's very appropriate that you brought this forward today. I appreciate it. I think we need to take another look at how we do this at the appropriate time. But it's interesting, there was an editorial in the LA Times today that I actually agreed with that talked about, the state saying that water is a human right, but they don't say how it's going to be backstopped and who's going to pay for it. And they're saying that, if you're going to make that kind of a statement, you kind of need to back it up. So I was amazed to see that this morning while we're considering this action. I'd certainly move the item. Thank you.
I'll second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Dr. Sullivan?
Aye.
Dr. Pauly?
Aye.
Dr. Record?
Aye.
Dr. Corona?
Aye.
Dr. Slauson?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Let's go to agenda item 5B, which is approve and authorize an award of contract with E.J. Meyer Company for $1,688,888 under specification 1341W for wells 201, 202, 203, phase 1B conveyance pipelines, and an additional appropriation of $2,607,000.
Mr. President, thank you for your service, and thank you for having me today to present to you our wells 201, 202, 203, phase 1B raw water conveyance pipelines project. By way of program overview, the project's a part of the San Jacinto Valley Water Banking Enhanced Recharge and Recovery Program. This program will help enhance our recharge operation in the East Valley and provide sufficient water, groundwater capacity so that we can extract that water when needed. This project is also a component of the Groundwater Reliability Plus Initiative, and this project provides for the extraction facilities for that water to provide water supply to the region. The program components include drilling and equipping of the three wells, also a wellhead treatment facility at Hewitt and Evans, as well as the Mountain Avenue recharge basin, which is nearing completion of construction. All these facilities are located east of the existing integrated recharge and recovery program that's located in the riverbed and east of Mountain Avenue. By way of specific overview of the project, as you know, about a year ago, we advanced the construction of the drilling of the production wells, and with that, we advanced the Phase 1A pipelines to help enhance that project. And so with that, today we're going to recommend advancing the Phase 1B pipelines that are illustrated on this diagram here in blue to complete the necessary conveyance facilities to convey the water to the wellhead treatment facility. The proposed pipelines are located on 7th, Shaver, Evans, and Old 2nd Street in San Jacinto. Back in October, we received bids under specification 1341. We received 13 bids, and of the 13 bids received, E.J. Meyer provided the lowest responsive and responsible bid with a bid of approximately $1.7 million. And with that, the bids were very close, and we received a lot of competition on this bid. Of the lowest bids, two of the 13 were within 20%. And this really demonstrated a clear understanding of our contract docs. And all of these general contractors proposing are reputable and own their own equipment, providing benefits and efficiencies to the district. Relative to the engineer's estimate, we're about 48% low due to the enhanced competition and an overly conservative engineer's estimate. We did reach out to E.J. Meyer, and he confirmed that he will honor his bid to advance this project. In addition to the contract award today, we're looking to advance an engineering services contract with the engineer of record, Tetra Tech. And the scope to advance that project would be the typical work needed to support construction, review of shop drawings, submittals, requests for information, change orders if they occur, and then necessary site visits and meetings to conduct the construction and preparation of record drawings. We reached out to Tetra Tech and negotiated a scope and fee. We'll advance that work in the amount of approximately $92,000. With that, we look to move forward with the project immediately and complete the project in about a year from now. With that, today we'd like to recommend we advance a contract with E.J. Meyer, an amount of $1.7 million. Also, advancement of a contract with Tetra Tech for engineering support services during construction, an amount of approximately $92,000. Administrative award of other ancillary contracts to complete this work, and then additional appropriation of $2.6 million, taking the project to just under $3 million. With that, are there any questions?
Have any questions of staff? If not, we'll leave. Accept a motion and a second.
I'll move approval.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Director Sullivan?
Aye.
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Next up on agenda item 5C is approve and authorize an award of contract with Calegua Incorporated for $893,679.79 under specification number 13865S for the Skinner 1 lift station replacement and the additional appropriation of $1,270,680. Joe.
Thank you, President Sullivan. The district currently has an agreement with the County Riverside to operate and maintain a series of sewage lift stations within the Skinner recreational area. If you recall, back in 2016, we replaced one of the lift stations, and today in front of you is a proposal to advance replacement of a second lift station of the recreational area. This particular lift station, known as Skinner 1, was constructed back in 1975. It has a wet well, dry well configuration with 2 5-horsepower pumps. In 2014, we conducted a condition assessment of the facility, and we identified it for programmatic replacement due to the age of the facility and the condition of the wet well. So as I mentioned, back in 1975, we entered into an agreement with the county to operate and maintain these facilities. The agreement itself was extended for an additional 25 years in 2009. As we've advanced this project through design and bid solicitation, we've been obviously coordinating closely with the county. They initially had agreed to reimburse us for the design effort in the amount of $148,000. And more recently, in November, they issued a letter to us agreeing to reimburse us for the cost of construction to replace a facility in the amount of $1.3 million. So to date, the county has committed over $1.44 million to replace this facility. The scope and effort of the project is to demolish the existing dry well, replace the facility with a pre-packaged or pre-fabricated lift station provided by Xylem. This is a similar approach to the facility that we replaced in 2016. That project was very efficient in terms of how quickly it was implemented, and it was a fairly smooth startup of the facility. So we decided to utilize the same approach that we used back in 2016. We would convert the existing wet well into a manhole once the project is advanced, install a driveway for maintenance access for our vehicles. There's some minor site improvements, including a retaining wall that we would construct. And we would also install a backup power generator set at the facility in case we have power interruption. In terms of schedule, upon board consideration and approval, we would issue the notice to proceed to the contractor. We anticipate it's about a year-long construction effort. We completed the design and advertised the project for construction in late September. We opened the bids on October 27th. We received multiple bids on the project. The lowest responsive bid was received by Caliagua in the amount of $893,000, slightly below the engineer's estimate of $926,000. So we feel confident that we have a good bid, and we've worked with Caliagua in the past, and they're qualified to perform this type of work. In addition to awarding the construction contract, we've negotiated with the engineer of record who helped us with the design process, and that's Krieger and Stewart. They're going to continue supporting us through construction, including review of the submittals, change order request reviews, RFIs, also providing us with an electrical inspector during construction and assisting us with the facility commissioning as well as developing the record drawings. Total amount of negotiated fee with Krieger and Stewart is $125,000. So our recommendation today is to approve the contract with the construction contractor, Caliagua, as well as a separate agreement with the engineer of record, Krieger and Stewart, and to appropriate an amount of $1.27 million to complete the construction project. Again, all the costs will be reimbursed by the County of Riverside. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
I have a question, Mr. President. Are these two separate items, the Krieger and Stewart and the Caliagua, because I have a conflict on the Krieger and Stewart item. So would we be voting on them separately or together? Because otherwise I got to get off.
Perhaps we can. Legal counsel, Steve, are you on the phone?
Yeah, Paul, I think we can certainly address each of these contracts individually. The recommendation lumps them together, but the board could certainly act separately on the Caliagua contract and separately on the Krieger contract, and then give the recommendations in three and four as well. So I'd recommend that the board first consider the Krieger contract, and then. If Director Corona feels the need to recuse, he can do at that time, and then the board can move recommendations one, three, and four independently. Does that make sense?
Yes. So, President Sullivan, do you want to request action on the Krieger and Stewart contract individually?
We'll
item
ask
two.
For, sure.
Okay, in that case, then I'm going to recuse myself on the item because my family does business with Krieger and Stewart.
Sure. Okay, let it be known that Director Corona has left the dais. We have a motion and a second.
I'll move the Krieger and Stewart contract.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Dr. Sullivan?
Aye.
Dr. Pauly?
Aye.
Dr. Record?
Aye.
Dr. Slauson?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. And then let's take up the Caliagua Incorporated contract.
Well, and then it would also be the two remaining items at the bottom, the administrative award of the contracts and necessary consultants and suppliers, as well as the additional appropriation. So items 1, 3, and 4, as listed on the slide in front of you.
Okay.
I'll move staff's recommendation.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Dr. Sullivan?
Aye.
Dr. Pauly?
Aye.
Dr. Record?
Aye.
Dr. Corona?
Aye.
Dr. Slauson?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
With that, let's go to agenda item 5D, which is approve and authorize an agreement for Infrastructure Engineering Corporation for $1,488,581 for the Moreno Valley Plant 2B Construction Management Services and an appropriation in the amount of $1,488,581.
Good morning, President Sullivan, members of the board. Before I start, Mr. Sullivan, I've been here a long while. I've not worked with you a lot, but every time I have, very knowledgeable, very personable. So it's been both a pleasure and honor, and you will be missed. So thank you.
Thank you. You've been a true servant on some of these construction projects.
Yes.
With cameras and everything. So you are
way we go,
to be
right?
applauded for that. Thank
well,
you.
Thank you. So I'm here this morning to address third-party construction management services for the Moreno Valley Regional Water Reclamation Facility, plant 2B equipping, flow diversion, and centrate construction project. Before I move on from this slide, I'd like to let everybody know that we currently have two designs going on. The first design is plant 2B equipping and flow diversion. The second design is the centrate conveyance construction. We're going to combine those two design projects into one construction project. With a thought process, we might get some economy of scale. And then as I go through the presentation, you might see that they're very related. So you might see that it even makes more sense to bring them together as one project in construction. So a little background, as I said, both designs are currently in the final design phase, and we're expecting to maybe advertise those in the second quarter of 2021. We have a $20 million estimated preliminary cost estimate. We're estimating a 24-month duration for the project, and just due to projected workload, we're looking for construction management services for this project. Wrong way. So, site layout, if I move my mouse, I don't know if it's going to, there you go. A little ahead of my game here. So what we've got is the dewatering building. We're going to take the centrate from the dewatering process, flow it by gravity to the centrate transfer pump station. That centrate is very high in ammonia. Then we're going to pump it, obviously, over to the centrate EQ. From there, it's going to enter the centrate and RAS reaeration basin. And this is a process that's going to help staff kind of nitrify the ammonia before we send it back to the front of the secondary treatment process. So plant 2B down here was the Bardenfoe structure years ago. It was mothballed due to be energy intensive. So we did plant 2A several years back where we made it more of a conventional aeration basin that matches our plant 1 side. So plant 2B will be a mirror image of that. And then there's miscellaneous junction structures, splitter boxes, pipelines that go back and forth between all of the two different structures. So construction management services, did I get ahead of myself by one? I think we're good. So what we're looking for is to engage a third-party construction firm during the final design phase of the project. The reason for that is we can use them to kind of help us with a QA/QC before this thing goes out to bid. So what they will end up doing there, they'll look at the project as a whole and say, are we any discrepancies between maybe civil, structural, mechanical, electrical disciplines, any discrepancies between drawings and plans, that type of thing, and is it constructible? So when we did this, we reached out to 8 firms. Of those 8 firms, 5 attended the pre-proposal meeting, and of those 5, we did receive 3 proposals. So we had a selection committee. It included both engineering and field engineering staff. Obviously, we ranked the 3 proposals, and we deemed that the best qualified firm, for this work would be Infrastructure Engineering Corporation. So this sheet just sort of summarizes what we found through the evaluation process. If you look at it, you can see that IEC ranked the highest score, had the lowest fee, and some of the comments we noted in there were is the member agencies close to us have used these guys in the past. We reached out to them, had great references. Their proposed resident engineer has worked on previous Eastern jobs, so he's very familiar with our processes and protocols. And then TRC was second, and TRC bought out Valley Cooper. So Valley Cooper, if you all know, was the construction manager assistant for us on the Temecula Valley job. Very good job, outstanding, great proposal. The biggest issue we had there, one of the issues was, is that the CM was sort of an unknown. And on top of that, he didn't appear to have the water, wastewater background that we were looking for. And then Kenny Jenks was third. Pretty good proposal. We just felt they kind of lacked the understanding of their role as a third-party construction manager. So as I mentioned previously, we're going to do a constructability review pre-bid, which is that QA/QC I talked about. They'll provide us with a construction management or manager. The resident engineer will be more of a full-time person on job. That's the person that has worked on a previous Eastern job. We're going to have them assist us with the specialty electrical inspection, along with the specialty instrumentation and control inspection. They'll assist us with change management. They're going to assist us with scheduling for sure. And then if necessary, we've got some monies in there to assist us with claims analysis if needed. And then, as always, we're going to carry them all the way through the startup and commissioning of the project. So kind of a big picture schedule. We're here today to authorize this work. If that does get authorized, we'll give them the notice to proceed this month also. As I stated before, the final design is shown as May, advertised June of 2021, that second quarter of next year. Board award for the authorization to move forward with construction September, notice to proceed in October, and then with that 24-month duration, we'd be complete sometime in November 2023. So we're looking, staff's recommendation is to authorize a contract with Infrastructure Engineering Corporation in the amount of $1,488,581 to provide the construction management services for the plant 2B equipping, flow diversion, and centrate conveyance project. With that, if you have any questions, I can answer them for you now.
I don't think so. Got any questions?
I'd move approval.
Okay. I'll second.
Been moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Dr. Sullivan?
Aye.
Dr. Pauly?
Aye.
Dr. Record?
Aye.
Dr. Corona?
Aye.
Dr. Slauson?
Aye.
We'll go to agenda item 5E, which is approve and authorize a contract with Arion, a Cimarron company, for $367,551 for the Paris Valley Regional Water Reclamation Facility digester gas flare, for a total project cost not to exceed of $603,000. All right, Matt.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd also like to thank you, President Sullivan. It's nice to see people who do a lot of great things like you do, and I'm very proud to have joined Eastern, thanks to all of you and folks as yourself who set such a great example for us, so thank you.
Well, Matt, you've been a credit here, so we hope you stick here for a while.
Yeah, that's the plan. this morning I've come to talk to you about the digester gas flare at our Paris facility. We'll talk a little bit about what the need is, what our proposals were, the costs, and then the recommendation. So each of our reclamation facilities has a solids treatment process to handle the solid organics that come into the facility. And those are all treated in anaerobic digesters, such as on the picture on the left, It's really just a big tank with no oxygen where the number of pounds of solids is greatly reduced, which reduces our costs for dewatering and hauling these solids to be recycled. And another benefit to that is that we get digester gas, which is methane-rich stream of gas that we can use for beneficial purposes. The downside to that is our production of and use of digester gas is heavily regulated by AQMD. And one of the requirements they have is that we're not allowed to vent raw digester gas without treatment or without combusting it first. So to meet that requirement, each of our facilities is supplied with a digester gas flare. So if we don't have enough demand for the gas to generate electricity or heat the digester, we send the gas to the flare where it's combusted without having to vent raw gas to the atmosphere. Our existing flare at this site is one of the first that was made of this model that meets AQMD emission requirements. So it's getting up there in age, and due to the design, it's a bit difficult to maintain the burner. The pilot assembly that starts the flare has some issues. We get cracking of thermocouples, things like that. So we've had a number of breakdown reports we've had to make due to this equipment. And also, on occasion, we're seeing that at peak hours, if the fuel cell is down for any reason, there are times when the flare is unable to keep up with gas production. So we're recommending the purchase of a new flare that'll run in parallel with the existing flare. The new flare has been improved since the original design. It's much easier to take care of the burner. It's safer for staff. We can complete the work in a shorter amount of time. The pilot assembly's been approved, so we're expecting a much smoother operation with the new equipment. Additionally, having a redundant unit will allow us to perform maintenance while the other flare is covering us, which takes some more pressure off. And so we're expecting no further issues with AQMD following the installation of a backup flare. And then for the periods of peak digester gas production, both flares can run in tandem to take care of the full flow. So we were only aware of two flares that could meet AQMD requirements, but we didn't want to miss any potential other newcomers. So we created an RFP that got sent out to almost 200 vendors. Eight folks were interested, but at the end of it, we got two proposals. One was from Arion, and that's the manufacturer of the original flare. The other one was from Perennial, which was a new name to me. However, their proposal was more expensive, and they didn't have any experience serving wastewater treatment plants. They had only served landfill gas applications, which are have a few key differences. So due to that, we've selected Arion. They were the highest rated proposal and lowest cost. We're familiar with the flare, and we're certain that it will perform. Part of the work is, we're going to buy the flare from Arion, and then Eastern staff are going to install and integrate the flare into the control system. And so the remaining part of the work, you can see in the photo there, that's the gas train with all the safety equipment and valves and things. So we'll be procuring that separately, and our maintenance staff will be putting all that into place. So for the cost, we have the cost for the flare that includes a maintenance bond. So if for any reason the flare doesn't meet emissions requirements or we have some other major problem, we're well covered to get our expenses back from Arion. All the other equipment I showed you, we're expecting to spend about $110,000 on that, and we have some substantial internal labor costs due to the fact that we're going to do all this work ourselves. This is permitted equipment from AQMD, so we have permit and source testing costs. So altogether, our total project budget is $603,000, which was included in the current OFA budget. And so the recommendation is to approve the contract with Arion for $367,000 and approve the total funds for $603,000 for the project.
Got any questions for Matt? Okay. We'll accept a motion in a second.
Move approval.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Director Sullivan?
Aye.
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Thank you.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Matt. We'll go to agenda item 5F, which is approve and authorize an agreement with the Air Force Civil Engineers Center for Well 59, wellhead treatment, operation, and maintenance. Whoa, good morning.
Good morning, President Ron Sullivan.
Good morning.
I also wish I'm doing fine, and I would like to thank you for your service. And one particular incident we had was the Santa Ana Regional Board with the Quail Valley amendment on that. And I was very proud that you stepped up and stood up for the district and what we had accomplished on there. So I really appreciate that.
Thank you much.
Oops. I got to use my glasses. Good morning, board members. Thank you for allowing me to present the ESCA 3 agreement with the Air Force. Background, in May of 2016, EPA established a lower lifetime health advisory level for PFOA and PFOS. What we identified was that Site 7 on March Air Force Base had been utilizing aqueous film-forming foam used for firefighting, and this had the PFOA and PFOS. If we look at the map onto the right, you could see March Air Force Base is highlighted in a red, and this firefighting site is located to the east side of March Air Force Base. Well 59 and two private wells detected above the health advisory, and all these wells were shut down. Years later, well 56 was shut down because it also was detected at with PFAS, but it was above the notification level of the state, but below the EPA health advisory. This next map here is a plume delineation. This was from a study that March Air Force Base had done. It's from an expanded site inspection report for PFOA and PFOS of the former March Air Force Base. This delineation shows both the upper and lower aquifers of the plume. It's approximately 2.4 miles to the south and 1.5 miles to the east. It does only show levels above 70 parts per trillion, which is the health advisories. If we look at the scaling of there, the light blue is at, or the dark blue, is at the 70 parts per trillion, whereas the lighter colors going to the red is it at higher levels for that. We did provide a comment letter. Our concerns were the further migration of the plume that would impact well 56, as well as Moreno Valley being a not a potential source for the PFAS. We are still discussing Well 56 with the Air Force. They are aware about that, and they have asked for quarterly results for that. So in addition to this ESCA 3, there were two additional ESCAs. ESCA 1 agreement was an agreement by the Air Force to pay the cost of imported water that would have been produced by Well 59, and in addition was to provide service to those two private wells. We hooked them up to our service, water service. The estimated total reimbursement cost was $7.84 million. The ESCA 2 was funds to retreat for the treatment study, design, and construction of Well 59. This is the wellhead treatment for PFAS. The estimated cost is $3.74 million for that.
And that's currently under construction.
It is currently under construction. These are pictures of it, and it's kind of a sequence circular motion to the left was earlier. The top right is more advanced, where the bottom is actually almost in completion. Currently, right now, we're hoping to start operation either this week or definitely by next week is our intended operation on this. So the final ESCA 3 agreement that we have is for the operation and maintenance costs associated with Well 59 treatment. This includes the carbon change out as well as the disposal of the media, replacement water reimbursement when we do have to shut down, monitoring costs, and reporting costs. This is a five-year agreement with the ability to renew every 5 years. The only way this would be terminated is if the source water, the well itself, would be below the applicable standard, which currently is the lifetime health advisory. Mind you, the waste, the plume, is associated with the Air Force, and so therefore they are responsible and have liability for the waste disposal. Our cost estimate per year is $310,000. I just want to kind of point out that treatment vessels is the most expensive portion of this. Primarily is the media replacement as well as the waste disposal, both of being of $66,000 and almost $130,000 when we do have to dispose. Finally, the ESCA agreement cost summary here. ESCA 3, after 5 years, is estimated to be about $1.55 million. If we put all three ESCAs together, that's $13.13 million that we get reimbursed. Before I make my recommendations, I'd like to thank our negotiation team, Greg Kowalski, Dave Garcia, Dustin Christensen, and then from OMLO, Chelsea Scarf, who has been with us with each of the calls. So our recommendation is to approve and authorize the general manager to execute the Environmental Service Cooperative Agreement, ESCA 3, with the Air Force Civil Engineering Center for the operation and maintenance of Well 59 wellhead treatment. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Okay. Do you have any questions of Al on this one? If not, we'll accept the motion.
I'll move the item.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Director Sullivan.
Aye.
Director Pauly.
Aye.
Director Record.
Aye.
Director Corona.
Aye.
Director Slauson.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Al. We have nothing for agenda item 7 today, no information or presentation. Agenda item 7 is receive and file. I'll accept a motion and a second for approval of 7A through 7B.
I'll move it.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Director Sullivan.
Aye.
Director Pauly.
Aye.
Director Record.
Aye.
Director Corona.
Aye.
Director Slauson.
Aye.
Agenda item 8 is the calendar review. Nicole.
Good morning, President Sullivan, members of the board. We'll begin the calendar review today on page 2. The first event scheduled is the AQUA Virtual Fall Conference. Directors Pauly, Record, and Slauson, and Director Sullivan are scheduled to attend. The full AQUA program has been included in your folders today, and the login information to access the platform has been added to your calendars as well. So please let me know if you have not seen that information, and I'll be sure to send that out to you. For Thursday, December 3rd, the Joint Inland and Orange County Caucuses will meet at 11:30 a.m. for Director Record's calendar. For December 3rd as well, we have the EMWD and Audubon Society meeting at 1 p.m., Director Pauly. The Metropolitan Water District Finance and Insurance Committee agenda review meeting is scheduled for 3:30 p.m. on the 3rd, Director Record. And tomorrow as well, we have the Board Administrative Committee meeting at 4 p.m. for Directors Pauly and Sullivan. Monday, December 7th and Tuesday, December 8th, we have the Metropolitan Water District Committee and Board meetings for Director Record's calendar. And on Monday, December 7th at 2 p.m., the WRCOG Executive Committee meeting is scheduled, and that one is on Director Slauson's calendar. Tuesday, December 8th at 3:30 p.m., the joint meeting with Elsinore Valley Municipal Water District will be held WebEx, and that's for Directors Corona and Pauly. On Wednesday, December 9th at 7:30 a.m., Director Corona has an update meeting with the general manager in Temecula. Thursday, December 10th at 7:30 a.m., Director Pauly has an update meeting with the deputy general manager, Laura Nomura, and that's at 7:30 a.m. in Paris. And at 7:30 a.m. on December 10th, Director Slauson has an update meeting with the general manager. On Thursday, December 10th at 8:30 a.m., the Rancho California Water District Board meeting is scheduled, and it's on Director Corona's calendar. And the next item is for your consideration. On Thursday, December 10th, AQUA will be holding its Region 9 membership meeting at 10 a.m. to noon. If anyone would like to participate, I can forward the details on that one. On Thursday, December 10th as well, Director Record has an update with the general manager at 2:30 p.m., followed by the Board Planning Committee at 3 p.m. for Directors Corona and Record. On Tuesday, December 15th at 9:30 a.m., the Metropolitan Water District Integrated Resources Plan Committee is scheduled for Director Record's calendar. And on Tuesday, December 15th at 9:30 a.m., the SAPA Commission will meet, and that's for Director Slauson's calendar. On page 3, we have the upcoming board meetings for the next 3 months and upcoming board committee meetings. And on page 4 of your report, we have upcoming interagency meetings and the out-of-office schedule, as well as the holidays. Are there any additions or questions on the calendar? That concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole. With that, let's go to the director's reviews. Randy for MWD and Eastern.
See, there were no meetings that day.
Okay. All right. Director Pauly.
Yes, I attended the Hemet San Jacinto Water Master meeting last Monday. We discussed the upcoming budget. We are going to add about $100,000 into the budget for the upcoming year to do some groundwater modeling, which has not been done in 5 or 6 years, and that was recommended by the advisors of the Water Master, which the Water Master Board approved. I did have a meeting with the general manager and deputy general manager to discuss the item that we took up earlier today on the late fees. I do agree with Director Record. I want to take a closer look at that sometime in the future to see how we can perhaps sharpen our how we do that to make sure that the, in my opinion, the customers who do pay their bills on time are not, you know, that we appreciate what they do, but also to see how we can make sure we don't get ourselves in this situation again. So I'm glad we did take that opportunity today to waive those. And I hope that as we do so, our customer service folks will be able to get that message out, and our public affairs team will be able to get that message out that the board took a good consideration on that. And then finally, Cal DESAL board meeting this morning. We elected the executive committee, which I was reelected to, and had some good reports and updates, and that's my report, Mr. President.
All right. Thank you. Director Slauson.
Yes, I did attend SAPA board meeting yesterday, and the highlights are had an update on the Disadvantaged Communities Involvement Program, had a budget review, and we entered into a task order with project partners to attain right-of-way to parcels for a right-of-entry, at least, future Arundo removal at the headwaters to the Santa Ana River watershed. And financial audit. And we approved to continue and to budget for, they're calling it the watershed weather modification. It's you know, cloud seeding, silver iodide seeding. I also attended the chamber business meeting on the 25th. We had updates from the city and the school and the chamber itself. And I attended the Water Master meeting as well. Yeah, and Bruce gave an update on the budget and a lot of EMWD co-activity, I found. That's it.
Okay, thank you. With that, I had my monthly update with General Manager Jones yesterday. It's always enlightening to find out some of the things that are actually going on within the district and in Southern California, and appreciate that very much. And with that, do we have any director's comments or future agenda items? Hearing none. Council, we have reason for closed session today.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, we do. Pursuant to Government Code Section 54957 concerning security issues on public services or facilities, and I believe we will be, I will be calling it to a separate number for that closed session. Will the board be going to the closed session room?
We're going to do that in this room, Stephen, so we'll need a minute or two to get set up.
Okay. I'll call back in on the number that Shayla gave me.
Thank you. Probably take President Sullivan maybe a couple-minute break to get set up.
Sure, absolutely.
Thank you. Comments from the directors. We will adjourn this meeting to the regular meeting on Wednesday, December the 16th, 2020, at 9 a.m. And I thank everybody for their time and words this morning. Obviously, I was moved, but I thank you very much.
And thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
We have April's going to come in, probably shoot some pictures, and then we also have food in the kitchen.
Great.
Sorry, Dave, I was 10 minutes off my estimate.
Oh, yeah, you were close.